Welcome to Christ the King Redemptive Ministries live worship experience. We would like to thank you for tuning in. Join Apostle Christopher and Prophetess Crystal McQueen for a time of teaching, learning, revelation, and impartation as we go through the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, develop, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call in to the broadcast at 718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the broadcast. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkrm.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and see our upcoming events. While you're there, click the media tab during the broadcast to watch us live. We encourage you to become a vision partner with us. Our vision partners stand with us with their prayer and financial gifts, allowing us to spread the gospel across the United States and around the world. The way to true prosperity is to help and to give to the poor. Your financial gift will help us to do more to be a blessing to those who cannot do for themselves. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the name of the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
As we go to the throne of God, hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you this morning. Once again, we come before you, blessing your name, honoring your name, decreeing and declaring that you are the God of the universe. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Father, you are our God. Individually, you are our God. Collectively, you are our Lord and Savior. We come this morning, Father, touching and agreeing all over those that are watching. We are connecting our faith with theirs this morning, standing in the gap, asking that you would strengthen right now. In the name of Jesus, Father, there are people that are dealing with situations and circumstances that are beyond their control. They don't know if they're coming or going. All they know is that every time they look, something is happening, something is being shifted, something is being shaken. But, oh God, you told us to stand firm. Even in the shift, don't be shaken. And I'm asking in the name of Jesus, those that are calling you their Lord and their Savior, that you would supernaturally bring peace to their minds and peace to their hearts. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, things, Father, that are being rocked to the left and the right, things that are being the ground that many, some that are standing on is just shaking in a very harsh way, and they don't know what to do. They tried everything in their power, and it seems like nothing is working. But, Father, I'm asking in the name of Jesus that you would calm their minds. You said that you would be our peace, all minds that stay upon you. I'm asking for your peace today, God, on their minds, peace in their hearts, and settle them, oh God, as you're working around them and moving some things out of their way, as you're bringing and pushing them into their future and into their prophetic destiny, that Father, as you're birthing some things, as you're killing some things that can no longer have access legally to go to the places where your people are, that you're giving your people to go, that they, those things would be broken off of them in the name of Jesus, that we would have the wherewithal to let it go and realize it is no longer accessible, but that we would press in. Oh God, it's the press. Hallelujah. It's the press, Father, that is making some of us nervous. We're asking in Jesus' name that you would calm our minds, our spirits, everything around us. Give us peace in the midst of this thing, whether it's our dealing with our family, whether it's dealing with our job, whether it's dealing with our mental stability, whether it's dealing with heart issues, whether it's dealing with financial, whether it's dealing with ministry. Give us the peace that surpasses all understanding. Father, as we begin to lift up those that are around us, this situation, circumstances that they may be dealing with. Give them strategy. Give them insight, Father. Give them answers in the name of Jesus. Even those that are pressing in to find out what it is you want them to do for 2020. Let them not hear any other voice but your voice in this season. Silence, Father, in the name of Jesus. Every mouth that is wayward, every mouth that brings deception, every spirit that is trying to woo them away from the divine direction that you're taking them in, let your voice be the only voice that they hear in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. And God, we lift up those that have lost loved ones in this seat. We lift them up this morning, oh God. You know the people that we're talking about, and even those that are connected with us. People have lost people that have been close to them in this holiday season. Father, in Jesus' name, I'm asking that the peace of God, that you will cover their minds, that you will cover their hearts in this season. In the name of Jesus, we bind up depression. We rebuke it at the root. In the name of Jesus, even as they begin to grieve, God, we command that the grief would not take them out of here. In the name of Jesus, God, cover the families, cover the minds, cover the hearts, cover the church families, God, those that have lost leaders. We ask in Jesus' name that you would begin to surround your love around him, that you would give them a perfect peace in this situation, and God, that you would give them strategies, that you would give them sound direction in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. Let them know that you are still for them. Let them know, God, that you're not leaving them. Let them know that even in the midst of this loss, oh God, that you are still God and that you're leading and guiding them in the name of Jesus Christ. Release your angels, God. Let them minister to those. Let them minister to their minds, their hearts. Let them minister to them even in the night season, oh Father. We thank you tonight. We thank you this morning, wherever they may be. We thank you this afternoon. We thank you wherever they are, all over the world. We bless you and we honor your name. And we ask all of this and we decree and declare it shall be well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. It shall be well. It will be well. It will be well. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We are preparing now, family, for the word. Amen to what has been already done thus far. But now we are preparing ourselves to hear the word of the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Family, I want you, as we are preparing ourselves to receive, amen, the leader of this great church, Christ the King, Redemptive Ministry, and the prelate of our organization, Kingdom Convergence. Family, I also want to, as he's making his way, please go to our website, if you would. Connect with us there, www.ctkrm.org. Once again, that's www.ctkrm.org. We want you to connect with Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. Amen. That as this word, and you feel that this word is touching you, you feel that this word is changing you. Amen. You feel God speaking to you through these messages that are going forth. We ask that you would sow into the word of God for your life. You'll always reap a harvest as you sow into his word. And as you're on our website, there are many ways to do so. Amen. So however it's easy for you to do it, just be able to do that. But most of all, we want to make sure that this word continues to bless your life and those around. As you're blessed, those around you will be blessed as well. Amen. Glory to God. So with all that being said, family, we also want you to know, Tuesday night, please join us at 7 p.m. for our Bible study night, also known as Kingdom Lifestyles Training Institute. On Thursday is prayer, 1 hour prayer from 7 to 8. Friday night is Jam Jesus and Me Ministry, which is our praise and worship experience. And Sunday morning at 9 a.m., we are here for our live worship service. Amen. Glory to God. And with all hearts and minds clear, as they say, let us receive the word. Please, family, rest upon your feet, those that are with us. Amen. And let us receive our senior leader, Chief Apostle Christopher McQueen, as he comes. Let us bless God for his life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank you, Jesus, as he is now ready to come. Amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Glory to God in the highest. I want you all to begin to lift up your faith. Close your eyes. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, first of all, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for all that you have done and all that you have given us. Lord, we know that this is the time and the season that you have called us into, oh God, for our building, for our development, Lord, so that we can be those that are called by your name, honored by creation, in the name of Jesus. Lord, and we won't take any glory for ourselves, but we'll give it all back to you. Even as you have given us opportunity at this time, oh God, to stand before your people and to minister this word. Lord, I'm praying right now for those who are in bereavement. My brother, Lord, co-laborer in the gospel that's gone on to be with the Lord, Pastor Kenneth McKissick in the Pittsburgh area. Lord, I pray right now for his family, the Eva and his sons and daughters and his family and the church family there, Lord, that you would begin to move. You begin to give clarity and understanding, even in this time, this morning, Lord, as they are without their leader, oh God, that you begin to move in their lives. Let them know that the vision did not die with the visionary, but it shall go forward. You shall get the glory out of this, in the name of Jesus. I pray for those, Lord, who are right now in this situation and in this season, Lord, those who are dealing with depression and other mental anguishes right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would show yourself strong on their behalf. I pray for strength and encouragement in the name of Jesus. I pray for healing and deliverance in their bodies in the name of Jesus. Lord, do what you do best, and that is make us who are calling upon your name safe. Deliver us now. Heal us completely. Make us whole in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, touch our eyes that we can see what you're showing us, the revelation of your word. Touch our ears that we can hear your voice, your instructions, your directions for our lives, our minds that we can comprehend the magnitude of what it is you are revealing to us. But Lord, touch our minds and our hearts that we don't try to outthink you and we don't allow ourselves to be so emotionally connected to the situation that we forget that you are in control. Lord, have your way in our lives, even now in the name of Jesus. And we will love you and we will praise you and we thank you. Even now, we praise you and we thank you in advance for every miracle, every sign, every wonder, every deliverance, every soul that's saved. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let every heart say, amen, amen, and amen. Come on, give God a praise. Glory to your name, Jesus. Amen. If they're not over by the desk, don't worry about it. I'll stick with these. Amen. These are my other glasses. Amen. And sometimes I had them in my pocket and I thought I bought them up, but don't worry, I can still preach with these. The word is in my heart. Amen. Amen. And some of you need to have the word in your heart while you're looking for it on your phone. You need to be able to tell the devil right now. Thus said the Lord. Amen. Giving honor to God who's the head of my life. You know, I don't say that often because that's something that became cliche-ish as we began to testify in testimony service, giving honor to God who's the head of my life, to the pastor, to the first lady, to the ushers, to the deacons, trustees, et cetera, et cetera. Listen, I'm thanking God in this season of thanksgiving and in this season of giving that he's the head of my life. There are a lot of things that have happened and transpired over the years where others would have given up and let things go and just let it, I'm done, I'm over, it's through. But yet and still, I'm still here. Amen. And I'm grateful for that because what it says is that no matter what the enemy has tried to do to discourage the word of God going forward, we have determined in our hearts and in our minds that we will serve him. We will lift him up. We will do what we need to do so that God can get the maximum amount of glory out of our lives. And I've sold out to the concept that I belong to him. Don't ask me to switch and shift and become something else because this is who I am and this is what I know. I know that Jesus loves me, and because he loves me, I love him. He died for me, and I live for him. And at the time that he shall call me home, I will have done everything that I need to do in my strength to make sure that he is glorified not only with my life living, but also with the legacy that is left behind. Amen. And with that, we are looking at certain things. I want you to pray with us as we are preparing our hearts. This weekend coming, we will be with Well of Life, Kingdom Ministries in Ahoskie, amen, North Carolina. That'll be with Pastor Dr. Tanya Queen Melendez, amen, and her congregation there. Dear friends of ours, amen. We all grew up together, amen. And we're part of Soul Saving Station for Every Nation. They're still part of the organization. God has since given us Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Convergence that we are the prelate of and that we are working and dealing with now. But every once in a while, you got to go back and see those that you know and those that you love. Amen. So we still go over and talk to them and fellowship and do what we need to do. And to that end, Pastor Kenny, amen, Kenneth McKissick was one of those brothers that served with me in Soul Saving Station. He was from the Pittsburgh area, from the Duquesne Church, amen, Duquesne, Pennsylvania, which is outside of Pittsburgh, one of the suburbs, if you will. And he would come down and he played the drums. I was talking to my friend yesterday, Douglas Coley Ward, my brother, amen. He's one of those friends that I could call right now and we pick up as if we just saw each other yesterday, amen. I called him and I asked, did Pastor Kenny, did he pass? What's going on? I'm hearing rumors. And he said, yeah, man, he died. He died yesterday. I said, well, let me know what's going on. I was just there at the end of last month, amen, for Bishop David Queen's inaugural Bishop's Banquet, amen. And while I was there, they had a men's program. And the men's program, the speaker for the Friday night was Pastor Kenneth McKissick. And he preached, and I backed him up for him, and we reminisced. And I said, y'all don't understand, this one of the first brothers taught me what syncopation was, amen. He would play the drums, and he would go around the drum set, do, 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 do. And, you know, I said, if I could just get a pocket out of you, I'd be good. And he said, okay. And then he would play, and every time he played, and he was just all over the drums, but he kept that foot going in time. So I learned not to listen to what his hands were doing, but to play to what his foot was doing. And we all had church, amen. And we laughed about it while I was saying it. And he looked at me and laughed, and I said, "Yeah, I'm still playing." But who would have thought that we're preaching and pastoring and doing all of this when we were young kids trying to figure out who gets to play the drums and the organ next? Amen. And we had a good time with that. And he preached the word. Amen. And then afterwards, we had the banquet. The bishop's banquet was the next night. And, of course, I went there and was speaking and did some things with different ones. But I took time as I was leaving out the door. He was one of the last people that I spoke to before I left. And as I was going towards the door, I was speaking, and I said, "Listen, everybody keeps calling you Bishop McKissick." He's like, "Man, I said, "Listen, if the people are saying it and God has already said it, then all we have to do is consecrate to confirm it. You know, let's look at this and see what needs to be done here." And he said, "Listen, I'm just trying to be a servant. I don't need the big titles or anything else. I just want to do what thus saith the Lord." And I said, "Well, I'm confident after all this time that God has given you a heart of a servant, and we need more brothers like you to stand with these titles. I'm so sick of those that have the title walking around trying to get a recognition and doing bigger things in my name, but forgetting that we're not working and operating in our name. We represent and operate in the name of Jesus. It's not about you at all. As a matter of fact, it's an honor for you to be a servant." So to have brothers like that who would take time and serve and do what it was needed, and you could call him at any time, and he was already ready to see what could be done. I told him, I said, "Well, let's see what we can do. I'll come up from Florida to Pennsylvania. I don't mind that, being a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I don't mind coming into the Pittsburgh area, amen, to see about my brothers, amen. Gives me a chance to go over and look at Heinz Field and some other things." And we laughed about it. I said, "But if you call me, I'm coming." He said, "We're going to put it together." I said, "Okay, let's do that." And I walked out the door. Young man stopped me on the way out, and I spoke to him, and then I went to the car. I'm so grateful that the last time that I spoke to him was not about contention, was not about trying to jockey to see who was greater and how many people you working with and what you doing. It was about, you know, we're just so grateful that God chose to use us like this, and this is where we are now. So when I heard of his homegoing or heard of his death, then it hit me, and I couldn't believe it, because it's real, amen. And sometimes what it does is it brings you back to reality. One of the things that struck me is that I've been talking about succession, and I know that he has his ministry there. He had his ministry, and I'm not sure how it was set up. We didn't get a chance to talk. I didn't get a chance to go by and look at and see. I just know that he had a work, and that he loved preaching and serving. The young man that I was speaking of, Douglas Coley Ward, after I spoke with him, I said, "How did he get over there to where you are, Church of God, in the Pittsburgh area?" He said, "Well, his daughter sings on the praise team, and his son married one of the members there, so that's how they got over there." And Pastor McKissick, when he wasn't out preaching and doing different other services and stuff, they would come by and be part of what they were doing there. So he was loved by the people, even over at that church, because he didn't care that he was a pastor at his church. If he had an opportunity to serve wherever it was, he was there serving. People look at me and say, "How can you be chief apostle and bishop and pastor and all the rest of that and still go sit on somebody's organ and help them out?" It's because I learned how to serve, amen? Service, what you do when you have been given abilities, amen?
You can preach. I'm preaching right now. I don't have to preach in that pulpit. They don't need another preacher. What they need is somebody to help them to praise and worship the Lord. So if I can go over there and set the atmosphere with the anointing on my life, then I know that God is still getting the glory out of what I'm doing. Amen? If it's just about people knowing that I'm a preacher, they know I preach. I preached it before. Amen? But what is needed, and this is the thing that you better catch, what is needed is what I need to deliver. Amen? Sometimes I've heard preachers say who are musicians, I graduated from playing because I want people to respect my word. And what I found is that if you have a character and integrity, you don't have to worry about where you play. People will still listen to what you got to say. Amen? There are people who right now are trying to prove to people that they're some kind of awesome in the kingdom of God. And they have neglected giftings and skill sets that God gave them that got them to the place where they are because they're trying to get people to see them in a certain light. Listen, people are going to see you like they want to see you anyhow. Amen. I don't care. You can come in with throwing $100 bills and people still call you whatever they're going to call you. They'll say that you got the $100 bill from here and you got it from doing this, that, and the other. They can take the money, smile on your face, and still stab you on your back as you walk away. Don't worry about the people. Worry about what God gave you to do. Why did he give you the skill? Why did he give you the ability? How can God use a child like me, amen, to turn around and do the work that I do? It's because I learned as a child to give it all back to him. Thank God for Bishop Harvey Garrett, who reminded me constantly that what we do is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes we would do well to go back and understand that whatsoever we do, do it in the name of the Lord. Amen? So I'm asking God for direction and what to do. We know that we are set to be in Ahoskie, North Carolina next weekend. I know that since he died on Friday, that if they are going to do the funeral, it's going to be someplace close. And I want to make sure that if we can't make it, we send flowers, resolution, whatever we need to do to make sure that they know that we are praying with them, our condolences to the family and to the church family there. Amen. And we're going to continue to do what we do in the name of the Lord, knowing that my brother would have wanted it to be just like that. Amen? Amen. And then also we are preparing to go to Liberia at the end of next month, today being the 1st of December. In the last week of January, we will be in Painesville, which is Monrovia, Liberia, with Apostle and Bishop Tar. Amen. They will be there with them, and it will be for the African Women for Jesus Conference. My wife is a board member with that, and they represent over 15 countries, and they got speakers from all over that will be there. She will be one of the keynote speakers at that time. Amen. So we want to keep her in prayer and keep me in prayer as I go over with her. When I go over, I'll be seeing about some Christian leadership training and teaching that needs to be in the area that Apostle Tara and I have spoken of before. And we said, let's look at a time when we can do this. And this will be a good opportunity, feet on the ground, to sit at the table and try to formulate and put these things together. We're looking at the pastors and the leaders that are over there that need to have the type of training that we get here. Amen. Thank God that I have matriculated and have gotten my degrees to deal with organizational leadership and organizational management, focusing on coaching, leadership coaching, leader coaching, and mentoring. It's so important now that we don't just try to go it alone, but we find those that can help pull out of us those ideals that are deeply inside of us that have been covered up by all kind of discouragements and failures and things. And one of the things we have to understand is that the coach can show you that greatness is there, mm-hmm. but you still got to go on the court or on the field by yourself. Amen? So the coach can show you. I see it there. I keep getting glimpses of it. How do you uncover that? And we begin to talk with you and help you to discover how you're going to uncover what is actually there. Mentors are a little different because there are those of us in ministry that have gone through, and I said it before, I bumped my head and did a lot of stuff that I pray that some young ministers never do. So as a mentor, what I do is I tell them, hey, don't do that and don't do this. This will be the result of that. This is a better way, and I can help lead them into better decision-making. Amen. Give them some skills and some tools that they can use to go on down the road. They're still going to have to do their own work, amen? But it's good when they run into a problem that is new to them but has been dealt with by us often. You see that? So now I can give you a quicker way to get around this than to go through that same learning process. So mentors are important. While I'm over there, I'll be dealing with that with Apostle Tar so that we can help the ministers and the pastors and the Christian leaders over in that region. And we'll have people from those 15 countries that will be coming in, and their husbands will be with their wives, and they'll give us a chance to talk with the husbands and set up a time and set up the training and pull the resources together that will be needed. The last time we talked, we were talking about 700 pastors and leaders that we wanted to get together over there. And it's not hard, because if you ever look, you'll find that everyone wants to be a minister of God, but everyone doesn't have proper training. Mm-hmm. So just because you can read the word does not mean that you know how to exegete a passage. And even if you know how to exegete a passage, Christian leaders lead by example. Can you live the life of a servant? Okay? Because sometimes you have to take down so somebody else can stand up. And it doesn't diminish you mentally or even in your position morally does not diminish you. But you have to allow them to have a win so they can be strong enough for the surgery. Amen? Sometimes we got a cut and you're not strong enough for the cut. The cut will kill you. So we have to allow you to get some strength so you can survive the process. Amen? Survive the procedure. And that means that we can't come in and butcher the sheep. Okay? Now you trying to become the leader so that people can take care of you. That's not what this is. Amen? Now every good pastor would tell you that we give back more than what we get sometimes. Bishop Garrett was a great example of that. They would do his pastoral anniversary appreciation and bring money in, and he would turn around and say thank you for it and then give the money so that the church lights can be on and that things could be taken care of that the church needed, because as a pastor, amen, people didn't give towards those things. They gave towards his anniversary. But I think Bishop Clint Brown said it best. He said, when we do a building fund, people will stop giving their tithes and offering and give towards the building fund. You give the same amount, but you just allocate it. You know, you reallocate it. Amen. So now instead of getting what we need to do the business for the general fund for the church, as well as developing the capital for the building fund, now we got to become creative and try to find a way. People give to us, we got to turn around and give to that. Amen? So that's what real leaders do. So when we go over, we have to make sure that people understand that you're not called to be opulent. Amen? If God gives you abundance and your church and your ministry is opulent, and okay. All right. Somebody, I feel you right now in the spirit. You say, I'm looking at the ring. I'm looking at the chain. You don't look like you starving. You're right. But I've been in this since 89. Amen. Preaching. And I was serving. I've been a musician since I was 4. Playing in church since I was 8. I've been serving all of my life. So if God brought me just to this point, because he knows he can trust me with it, where have you been and what can God trust you with? Amen? Amen. So that's important, that we get people not to look at where we are after 30 years of ministry, but where they are as they begin the third day, third month, third year of ministry. Amen? That they stay encouraged. Don't look towards what happened and what's going on with us down the road. Stay where you are and learn how to develop. God will bring you, amen, into the wealthy place. Stop trying to live an opulent lifestyle thinking that God is blessed and glorified by how multi you think you look. Amen. His church don't look like that, but you got the best this, best that, and other. And when it comes down to him, you buy the cheapest toilet paper, won't put the right paint up. Can we get some? Let's go over here to Habitat for Humanity and all the rest of that and see if they would give us some paint. But at your house, you pay how much for a simple portrait on the wall? See, when we prioritize God, and God doesn't mind making sure your stuff looks good. Oh, I said something right there. How come the church bus has to be something used, but you can buy a brand new Bentley off the lot? Okay? See, once we get ourselves together and once we get our priorities together, nobody cares that you drive Infiniti or Jaguar or BMW or Bentley or anything else when the church has brand new this and brand new that and the program is taken care of at that level. Then that means that the opulence that you want to live is already slathered upon God and his people, and this is your portion of it. Amen? Oh, y'all missing what I'm saying. Because one of the things you have to understand, and I'm already preaching, and one of the things you have to understand is that the same sacrifice that the people brought, the priest got part of it, amen? But the rest went to God. Oh, yeah. So that means that you got this part, that three-pronged fork that you put in and pulled out, and whatever was with it was your part, and the rest of it went to God, okay, then that means that this small part, if it allowed me to be opulent, then all of that should make sure he's opulent. Amen? Amen. So let's see what we can do to make sure that God has the best. Stop trying to find the bargain basement version for the church, but you got to have top of the line. How about you get the church top of the line, and got to make sure when you look at the bargain basement, you'll see somebody put something down there that was way above the basement, but they didn't know. Amen? I have a friend of mine who, one of the co-workers, he's always finding deals. He said, people didn't know. He said, they didn't know that this is costing. That costs about $3,000, and I just bought that for $100. $100. He said, look. I said, how'd you do it? It's just somebody, and they say, I just want to get rid of it because it's taking up space. They don't know it was worth that much. They just want to get it out of the area. And so I walked up on it for $100, but it cost $3,000. See, God knows how to give favor. Amen. And while you sitting back trying to figure out how you gonna get $3,000, how about you take care of God and God will walk you. And see, that's why when you are led by the Spirit, you can walk into wealthy places because he'll take you and lead you along the path. You see, if you're trying to do it yourself, you're always going to run into problems. While you trying to get it and keep it for yourself, God will blow on it. And that'll take it out of your hands because it'll be like sand and going right through your fingers. You won't be able to hold it. But if you trust him, God knows how to make sure that it is where it needs to be when you need to have it. Amen? Come on, let's read this word right here. 1 Chronicles 29:1 is where we were. Amen. I'm just going to we got down to about the sixth verse and we started reading there too. But I want to put this into order, starting at the first verse. Furthermore, King David said to all the assembly, my son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great, because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. In other words, he's saying, I'm not going to be able to do this myself. My son is going to be tasked with this. And I understand that those, as we speak of succession, those that are coming behind us can't come in and get your bills. They need to come in and get your resource. Okay, y'all missed that. See, this is the thing. David knew that he was not going to be the person who builds God's temple. He knew that, because when he said, I want to do it, the Lord told him, you shall not do it. But what he did was he set his affection on the things of God. And look at what he did here. He said, now for my house, for the house of my God, I have prepared with all my might gold for the things to be made of gold, silver for the things of silver, bronze for the things of bronze, iron for the things of iron, wood for the things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistening stones of various colors, all kinds of precious stones, and marble slabs in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affections on the house of my God. And I like the fact that he kept saying my God. He didn't just say the house of God. He said the house of my God. Amen. I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver, 3,000 talents of gold, the gold of Ophir. He didn't find gold. He went and got the best refined gold. Amen. Mm-hmm. 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the house, the gold for the things of gold, the silver for the things of silver, for all kinds of work to be done by the hands of craftsmen. In other words, he didn't trust people who did not have a skill set to deal with the resource that he was going to give. He set up those that knew how to deal with it. He has set up treaties and partnerships with the King of Tyre and different other ones to get the resources that he knew he needed to have, even after he was gone, that they would still be favorable towards his son. Amen? I know I'm getting ahead of this, but I want you to see this, is that David did not set up Solomon and tell him to do a great work and then leave him with the bill. I'm spending everything I can, do all I can while I'm alive. And, you know, Lord kept me, he's going to keep them too. You selfish something, amen? I know that, hey, God brought me up. I got myself up by my own bootstraps. You lie and wonder. You did not get yourself up by your own bootstraps. If it hadn't been for the Lord who gave you the ability to stand up at all, you could not got up this morning, amen? If it hadn't been for the Lord who turned around and spoke to creation to come to your aid after you said, this is what I was going to do, you could not have done anything. The Bible says, and set the Lord builds a house, the laborers labor in vain. So what did you do? You didn't do anything that God didn't do for you. Amen? See, we have to be very careful that we don't walk out trying to live our best life now and forget that after you go on, that there has to be something that says that you live the right life. Forget the best life. Live the right life. Righteousness, amen, and holiness, without which no man shall see. You better get yourself together. You go and see the Lord and told him, I lived good and ate good and everything else. And he said, that's why I allow obesity and that fat around your heart to give you the heart attack that brought you up here. So I could talk to you about the fact that all that you were eating, you were supposed to be giving away. All the work you were supposed to be doing, you didn't do it because you were trying to show everybody, look at what I got. So how is it then that you are going to live your best life when you can't live the right life? David said, I need these things, these resources that I'm going to give to be put in the right hands. And then he asked the question, who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? My giving, my worship is not just my hallelujah and my praise. I'm not just sitting here rocking back and forth with tissue that, okay, listen, this is not just that. I'm consecrating myself. I'm setting myself aside. And the things that I have set aside have been consecrated and sanctified because they've been set aside and sanctified for God's use. I'm not going to say, ooh, I forgot that. Let me go dip into that and give this to, I'll put it back later. We need to stop lying to ourselves. When you miss your tithe, you don't come back and give your tithe because you forget about it. And once you make the excuse to do it the first time, it makes it easier every time after that to make the same excuse. Pretty soon, you find you don't tithe. Amen. You don't give an offering. You come in, ooh, let me give something. And then you look at what's in your pocket, not what's in your bank account. Uh-huh, because you already got plans for that. And this is very important as we go into the end of this year, especially during Thanksgiving and Christmas, that you don't become somebody who's trying to catch Black Friday, pre-Black Friday, Cyber Monday, pre-Cyber Monday. You see what I'm saying? We're doing all of this that we can to catch every deal and everything and then try to remember God after the fact. But you need him every day of your life. You need him every moment of your existence. But you remember him well after the fact. So what do we do? What do we do here? We take an example from David. David recognized that his giving and his setting aside was consecration. It was worship. It was his respecting of God. It sanctified him. It set him aside. Amen. It got him in right standing with God so that he could serve him with the fullness. And when he said, I have set my affection on the house of my God, when's the last time you took ownership of the church? Why do we have to tell you there's a problem when you come in and see the problem? Why do we have to tell you that there's a need when you see the need? As a matter of fact, you brought it to our attention. Yet and still, when it's time to deal with it, you act like somebody's going to get that. David said, I'm not waiting on you. I have set these things aside, even my personal treasury, for the house of my God. Then the leaders, 6 verse, of the house of the father's houses, leaders of the tribe of Israel, the captains of thousands and of hundreds, of the officers over the king's work, offered willingly. Now, I want to make sure that y'all are clear about this is not them taking their tithes and giving it to the work as an offering. They still gave their tithes. But they also, on top of their tithe, see, your tithe belongs to God already. But your love, your affection for his house is where your offering comes in. You see this? Uh-huh. They offer willingly. This is your free will offering. All right? They gave for the work of the house of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 dirhams of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. Now, whoever had precious stone, you got a diamond. You get your diamond. I don't get mine. You get yours. No. Whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord into the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. And the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly. I'm can I just say this, prophetess, Dr. Crystal? I'm tired of people looking for a praise break when you haven't gotten or done anything that's praiseworthy. You waiting on people to start the music. Da, 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 da. And we got a Hammond. I'll play the organ. We'll give God praise. We'll tear this place up. I don't care about it. We'll put it back together for the next service. But we will give God praise. But don't tell me that you want us to give you a praise break opportunity when you have missed your giving opportunity. Then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart. God help us. If I had time to talk about loyalty, people would be mad right now. And the reason why people would be mad right now is because we have lied to ourselves that I can give God whatever I want as just a service that I'm going to give. It's my free will service that I'm giving. I did it out the goodness of my heart, and y'all should be happy that I did. I didn't have to sing in the choir. I didn't have to usher. I didn't have to work on a kitchen committee. I don't have to be a trustee or anything else. I don't have to be a deacon or the rest of that. I can just come in and just sit down, and because I'm a member of the church, then all of this should be here. But, you know, I don't have to be loyal to the work. And the reason I found that people can't be loyal to the work is because the heart is not loyal. But where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We don't want to deal with the fact that our hearts are disloyal to the work of God. But we want God to be loyal and Johnny on the spot when it comes down to our stuff. We want him to be there if I need him, be on standby, because I'm going to handle this by myself. But if I should need you, I want the angels of heaven to respond right now. No. The people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart, they had offered willingly to the Lord. Can I just give you just one more thing here really quick? Notice that David offered and gave them an opportunity. But he matched their opportunity by showing them what he had already done. Stop raising the offering and you haven't put in it. You have not given towards the work, but you want everybody else to respond to the plea. That's why when we go places and God has given us the ability, Prophetess Crystal and I have given greatly into different ministries, amen, and it has been a joy to give, because we realize that as we give and sow into other ministries, God has sustained us both in ministry and in our personal lives. He has given us favor and done things for us that couldn't have been done any other way if we had tried to do it a different way. God has blessed us immensely because he knows that he gets it to us, he'll get it through us. We give at a great level. If we are at a place and we have it and they ask for it, we are going to give it. Amen. We have been known to do that. And we don't come up so people can see us. While they still in the middle of their plea of what they want people to do, and I find a person who is taking care of their cards and everything, I just go up and tell them how much, and they go ahead and run it through, and I go back and sit down. We don't even fill out an envelope because I'm not trying to get recognition for giving the amount that we gave. I'm just trying to honor God with my giving. And people want to stand in line and show people that they had the money in their hand. I just want God to be glorified, amen, because there were times when we wanted to give and we couldn't, amen. And now that we have the ability to give, I want to make sure that we never get to a place where we miss an opportunity. David gave. Then he gave the leaders an opportunity to give. But the people also responded. Do you see what's going on here? When everybody takes ownership of the work of God, it's not hard to do great things. When only the leaders are doing it, we have resource, we have partnerships. Amen. We can get cooperation and collaboration, but it's a hard work to do. If you build a great cathedral, who are the people who are going to come? No, building a big church is not a field of dreams. You build it, they will come. No, it doesn't work like that. The people sometimes need to be in a small spot so that they can learn how to live together. Okay? As they are living together, they learn each other's strengths, weaknesses, so that when they face others, they know to put you on the right side or on the left side, because if you left-handed or right-handed, if you ever sit down with somebody while they're trying to eat and you have a right-handed person eating with a left-handed person, you know their elbow's always going to bump. But if you put that left-handed person over on the left-hand side and put the other people who are left-handed in somewhere around the middle, you start to, you know, people can all eat and enjoy themselves. The right hand and the left hand can all get along together at the same table. Amen? Same thing when you are close quarters. You learn that certain people need to help. They need to help in praising God. Amen? And so you start clapping your hand and everything else. I love the fact that I've taught and dealt with choirs over the years. And we always have those people who can't walk and chew bubblegum. Amen? What do you mean? They can't clap and sing at the same time. They can't rock and, you know, that's the one. Everybody's going right and they're going left. Amen? Everybody's clapping on one and, on two and four, and they trying to clap on one and three. And they just happy that they standing with the choir. So we had to move them over here. You think choirs do this on purpose? They forcefully would move that person until they got tired of getting bumped and they got into alignment. And then it's like, ooh, hey, I got it. Yeah, you got it because we gave it to you. Amen. Close quarters help us to recognize people's strengths, abilities, talents, gifts. Amen. We see where you need development. We see where you need help. We see where we can be an asset to you, and we can help you to be an asset to us. That's what happens. You're trying to get the biggest church, but you won't deal with none of the people that will come to you, except they bring the biggest offerings. David did something that allowed himself to be a leader in giving. The leaders, not to be left out when given the opportunity, gave. The people saw that they were giving and they started giving. But none of this stuff just went to set to say that we got a big pile of resource that we just got. Look at it. We can show enough raise some stuff. No. He said, for the craftsmen. Amen? Is that what it said there? For all kind of work to be done by the hands of the craftsmen. Craftsmen need to have blueprints. They need to know what's going on. But the blueprints have to be drawn up by one who has the ability to see. Visionaries. See, the problem is that you can raise money, but you don't know what to put the resource to. And you're asking God for the stuff that he would give you, but God said, I'm waiting on you to catch the vision. When you catch the vision, then you'll understand what the resource is for. Until you catch the vision, the resource, you'll go through it, you'll misappropriate it, and the work will still not get done. So God will not give you the favor. He will not give you the resource until you get the vision. Then David blessed the Lord before the assembly. I want us to begin to think about this at the end of this year, that coming up, we have the ability for first fruit. Amen. It's the first offering that we give going into the new year's, and that we take some time and dig deep and give greatly. I believe that next year God has some great things for us that he's about to do, and you want to have seed in the ground. Some of you are tired of the mud keep getting, but the reason why you keep getting mud is because you have the ground, and you have the rain, amen, the latter rain and the former rain, but you don't have seed. That seed in the ground is what you need. Now look at these words here. I want you to see 2 Corinthians 9. And 10. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God. It's important for us to understand that he gives seed to the sower. If God didn't give you the strength, the competency, if he did not give you the aptitude, amen, for you to demonstrate the ability to do the work, then you could not do it. It couldn't be done. But because he knows that he's calling you to a greater place, greater opportunity, greater time, he gives you seed. If you don't have seed, you have to ask yourself a question. Number one, can God trust you not to eat the seed? Number two, can God trust you to sow the seed? Let's get to a better place at the end of this year and for the next year by learning how to honor God. What does this have to do with succession? David didn't get all that stuff because it just fell into his lap. God strengthened his hand and then put capable people around him. David had mighty men of valor. Amen. And who were those mighty men of valor? They were all the rejects that God turned their rejection around and gave them ability to stand and take back what the enemy had taken, and to go out and fight, amen, and to spoil the enemy. Don't you think that your condition today is going to be your condition tomorrow? Start sowing into today so that God can bless you with your harvest for tomorrow. Amen. Come on, give God a praise.
Father, we thank you for the word this morning. We pray that that word has blessed you, family. We pray that that word will cause you to strive to be greater in God, pressing into him greater, deeper, higher than you have before. Amen. As we come into 2020, family, I want us to make sure that we come in with reality. Amen. We've heard many people, we've heard over the years so many quote-unquote prophetic voices that are out there. And I'm not saying that to be, you know, that I'm the greatest voice that's out there speaking. There are some powerful, mighty men and women of God that are strategic and truly hear from the Lord of God. But there's also many voices that are copycats. There's also many voices that are not hearing anything from the Lord, and they're leading people astray. We have many people that have either walked away from God because they've been operating on a prophetic word that was never meant for them to begin with. Do know, family, that the enemy knows how to copycat some things, and he'll say whatever he has to say to get you off kilter. So we want to make sure that as we are seeking his face, and I'm really pressing you with this because it's pressed upon me as well, seek God's face to hear what it is that he is saying for you, your family, amen, what is coming so that you can prepare for 2020. It's not what you think it's going to be, amen. We got to get into his face so we can really hear what God is truly saying and preparing us for, not only for 2020, but for the seasons and the decades to come. We need to be prepared because Jesus is soon to return, amen. So I want you to be encouraged. I'm not saying that to put any fear in any of your hearts. I just want you to be sober and be aware, amen, because we cannot afford to be fooled or tricked or deceived in this season. We must be sober-minded. We must be focused, laser-focused in this season, amen. So I just want you to know that I love you, amen, and we are praying for you. Please, if you will, join us for, again, Tuesday night for our Bible study night at 7 p.m. Kingdom Lifestyles Training Institute. Thursday night, meet me here for prayer, 1 hour prayer, 7 to 8. On Friday, it's Jesus and Me Ministry, which is our praise and worship experience, also known as JAM. Sunday morning at 9 a.m. is our live worship service. If you are in the immediate area of Brevard County, join us at 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121 in Cocoa, Florida. Otherwise, family, I want you to connect with us through www.ctkrm.org. That way you can also see and be a part of our services, amen, and a part of the Word of God that goes forth in this house. And speaking of that, if this word is changing your life in any way, you feel God speaking, he's revealing, he's opening up, you feel yourself growing and maturing spiritually, please, please, please sow into the word of God for your life. Amen. You can do that again by going to our website, www.ctkrm.org. There are a couple of methods that you can be able to connect with us and sow into the anointing and be a blessing for your life, your family's life. Amen. Sowing for the next generation, amen, and also helping us to continue doing what we do for the gospel of Jesus Christ, amen, amen. Also, please continue to lift us up for the trip to Ahoskie, North Carolina, as well as our trip overseas to Liberia, Africa, amen, amen. With all that being said, from my heart to yours, Chief Apostle Christopher McQueen and our Christ the King Redemptive Ministries family and friends, we want to let you know that we love you, we care for you, we're praying for you. God bless you. Have a fabulous Sunday, and we will meet here again Tuesday, 7 p.m. for Bible study night. Be blessed in his name. Amen.